Hello, hello, and welcome to episode 207 of the Fitness Simplified podcast. I'm your host, Kim Schlag. On today's episode, we are talking about a favorite subject of mine, workout programming. I'm going to teach you from a high-level overview how to build your own workout. We're going to talk about how to decide how many days a week to train, how often to train each muscles, what are the main movement patterns you should be including in each workout, what to do in each workout, how many sets, how many reps, all of the things. Going to break it down to you from start to finish today. Let's do it.
Woohoo! I have a fun subject for you today. This is a subject that for me, you know, have you ever heard people are like, you have 30 minutes, you have to talk the entire time. If you talk for the whole entire time without any breaks, you win some amount of money. People are like, you win $1 million, you win $100,000 or whatever it is. Have you seen people talk about this? And then they're like, what is your subject? What would you pick? Of workout programming would be one that I would for sure pick. I can talk solid for 30 minutes, no problem, all about workout programming without skipping a beat. I could also pick, I could pick Taylor Swift. I could pick, where is Kate Middleton? Oh yeah, I could do 30 minutes there. I could do 80s pop culture for sure, for sure. I'm going to put this on my Instagram stories. I want to know whatever, what is your niche area of expertise, important or not so important, that you could talk on for 30 minutes? I'm going to put it in my story sometime this week. You got to come and tell me. I really do want to know. So like I said, one of mine would be workout programming. It is a favorite subject of mine, and I get a lot of questions around this topic. Things like, how many days a week should I train? And how often do I train each muscle? And what do I actually do? What do I need to do in each workout? And how many reps? The other day, somebody messaged me and they're like, is 30 reps too many reps? So I get a lot of questions like this, and I'm going to break it down for you today from start to finish. And so we're going to start. Where should we start? At the very beginning. It's a very nice place to start. Now I'm Fräulein Maria. All right. What is the beginning? Your goal. The beginning, when we're talking about how should I set up my workout, is what is your goal with your training? Your goal should always dictate your training. If your main goal is to get conditioned for a 7-day cycling trip, that would be very different than if your main goal is to build your glutes. For the remainder of this discussion today, we're going to go on the assumption that your main goal is to, one, lose body fat, and two, build muscle so that you can get toned and bulletproof your body for healthy aging. You can adjust what I'm teaching you here today based on your other goals. So maybe in addition to those things, like me, you're also trying to like improve your 5K time. Totally fine. Like, we could talk in another episode about where do you add in those running times. But today we're going to be talking about the resistance training, with the idea that the person listening to this, they want to lose some body fat. They want to build some muscle to look good, feel good, and age well. All right. Once you are clear on your goal, the next question you're going to consider is, how many days per week can you train? I want you to be really realistic here. Do not set out to train 5 days a week. If you're like, oh, really, I'll probably make three, but I'm going to shoot for five. It is way better to have a program that is built for 3 days and you hit all 3 days than to have a program that is written for 5 days and you're only hitting three. Okay. So pick a number of days that is going to be something that you feel confident you can hit with consistency. It doesn't have to be perfection, but with consistency. Within that framework, you have options. So typically, I coach people and we work between 3 days and 5 days. Most common in my Fitter After 40 program, I program 3 days per week or 4 days per week. If you're like, wait, I want less than that or more than that, when might we do that? 2 days per week is something I would do for somebody who was incredibly busy and just was like, I'm either going to do 2 days or I'm going to do no days. Is it better to do 2 days than no days? Absolutely. And the physical activity guidelines for Americans state that everyone, every adult, should be doing 2 days of resistance training. And if you're like, wait, then why are you suggesting three is the baseline? Remember, those guidelines are not necessarily written for somebody whose goal is to optimize their fitness for looking good, feeling good. You see what I'm saying? So 2 days is baseline. But if you're trying to lose fat, we want to preserve your muscle in a fat loss phase. You want to look toned. That's where I really like that baseline of three. So if you can prioritize your time to have 3 days of strength training, I would do that. If you're like, nope, I can only do two, like I am in a really busy season of life, then do two. If you're going to do 2 days, I would have both of those days be full body days. I would have rest days in between them. Doesn't matter when. You could do one on Monday, one on Wednesday, one on Monday, one on Friday, one on Tuesday, one on Saturday. Any 2 days a week will do. Ideally, it would not be 2 days in a row. Ideally, it would not be Saturday and Sunday. Could be Friday and Sunday. Okay, so if you're going to do 2 full body days, have them be, if you're going to do 2 days, have them be full body days. So you're training upper body, you're training lower body, you're training core, all the things. All right, next option, if you're going to do a 3-day split, so you're going to train 3 days per week, my preferred split for that is lower body, upper body, full body. So 1 day of each. You have one lower body day, one upper body day, one full body day. Now you might be like, well, why not we just 3 full days? If we did 2 full days, why not do 3 full body days? I find that that can be a lot to recover from and that you're often still sore by the time the next workout rolls around, specifically with your lower body. So if you do a full body day on Monday, when your workout rolls around again on Wednesday and you're doing full body again, your legs might still be really sore and not ready to go. Whereas if you were doing a lower body, upper body, full body, and let's say you train Monday, Wednesday, Friday, you do your lower body workout on Monday, you're not hitting lower body again till Friday because you'll do lower on Monday, upper on Wednesday, Friday, you've got full body, right? So you can have that bigger chunk of time between when you hit your first lower body workout of the week and when you hit your second lower body day of the week. If you're going to do a 4-day split, my favorite split for that is a lower body, upper body setup. So you have 2 lower body days, you have 2 upper body days. And then, and those are my most common, 3-day workouts, 4-day workouts. The other option you can do is a 5-day split. This would be set up exactly like the 4-day in terms of a lower body, upper body, lower body, upper body. Then you would add on 1 more day for some type of specialization. This works really well for somebody who has a performance goal, like you want to get your first chin up or your first 5 chin ups. You're trying to get your first push up or your first, you know, set of 8 push ups, you know, something like that. Or if you have a goal to really build your triceps, build your shoulders, build your glutes, like you want a little more volume on those kinds of things, you can have a day where you're going to do your lower, upper, and then on this 5th day, you're going to do, you know, just some tricep exercises. You're going to do just some shoulder exercises, or you're going to work extra on your chin-ups, your push-ups, those kinds of things. So you'd have 4 days lower, upper, and then 1 specialization day. Obviously, like I said, this is not going to be for a beginner. This is not going to be for somebody who's like, hey, I just want to get the most bang for my buck. This is going to be for somebody who's like, I really like training and I have this goal. I want to hit it. We give a little bit of extra loving on that 5th day. Now, with those workout splits, you want to make sure that you have a minimum of 1 full rest day per week. You can see with all of those, there's definitely going to be, because the highest number I use here is 5 days. Right? So that would give you 2 rest days. The tricky part comes in if you're like, well, I also want to run or cycle or do spin class and, you know, an intense yoga class. You want to make sure that however you program those in, and you can do some of those other things on the same day as your strength training days, but you want to make sure that in a week you have 1 day where you're not doing resistance training or any kind of class or cardio that is not just low intensity. So on your rest days, definitely still go for your walk. You could do some gentle stretching. You can certainly do active hobbies. So if you're like, it's my rest day and I want to, you know, I want to go do a little kayaking, sure. If you're going to, and if you're like, oh, what about a hike? It really is going to depend on the intensity of that hike. You know, if you're going to hike a really steep mountain for 7 hours, that would not be a rest day. If you're going to go for a, you know, a 3-mile little stroll, that's very different. So really think about intensity when you're talking about rest day activity. Minimum 1 rest day per week. I particularly like 2 rest days per week if possible, but minimum 1 rest day. All right. So now you've got your, you know what your goal is. You know what your workout schedule is going to be. Are you doing it 3 days, 4 days, 5 days? You know where your rest days are going to be, what to do on those rest days, what not to do on those rest days. Now let's talk about what the actual workout themselves are going to include. You want to make sure that across your week, you're going to include the main movement patterns. I'm going to run through those with you now and give you some example. Okay, so if we're going to start with upper body. You want to include upper body pushes, both horizontal. So that would be like an overhead press, a barbell overhead press, those kinds of things. That's horizontal upper body press, a machine overhead press. You want to include vertical upper body pushes. So chest press, bench press, push-ups. Those are some examples. And by the way, I'm only giving you a couple examples of each of these types of main movement patterns. I'm not telling you all of them. I have an exercise library that has literally hundreds of exercises, hundreds. So there's lots of exercises in each of these categories and lots of variations of each exercise. So those are upper body pushes. You want to make sure you include those each week. Upper body pulls, again, both horizontal. So this would be things like seated cable row, a dumbbell row, a chest supported row. So all row variations are going to be in that upper body pull. And you also want to do upper body pull in vertically. So those would be things like pull-ups, chin-ups, lat pull-down variations, lots of variations with those there. So those would be your upper body pulls. So now we're making sure we do upper body pushes, upper body pulls. You want to hinge each week. So these would be all deadlift variations, Romanian deadlift variations, hip thrust variation, bridge variations. You want to make sure you're hinging each week. Next, you want to make sure you're doing squat variations each week. And there's lots of different squat variations. You do not have to barbell back squat. That is an awesome way to train. You can also do goblet squat, Bulgarian split squat, lots of squat variations. You're going to want to squat each week. And you're going to want to lunge. So all different kinds of lunge. We've got reverse lunge, lateral lunge, forward lunge. So you want to include that unilateral lower body. So with the lunge pattern. And then you want to get in some core. Many, 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 many different core exercises. There's four different general patterns of core exercises. We have anti-extension, anti-rotation, anti-lateral flexion, anti-lateral flexion, and we have rotational. So those are some of the main type of core exercises. You want to sprinkle those in as well. All right. So those are the main movement patterns that you're going to want to include in your workouts, right? So you follow me, you know your goal, you know how many times a week you're going to train, when you're going to take your rest days, you know the main movement patterns you want to get in across your work week. And now there are different ways to then program those movement patterns into your week, different ways to program those exercises. And I'm going to share how I do it. And that is within each workout to work in a variety of rep ranges. I have learned other ways to program that they kind of take what I'm doing instead of doing it from top to bottom in each workout. They turn it on its side and that's what their work week looks like. That's another way to do it. There's lots of ways to program. I'm going to share a way with you that I program. This is how my coach taught me to program many, many years ago. And I find it very successful for strength, for hypertrophy, and for overall performance. So it looks like this. We're going to train in a variety of rep ranges. At the beginning of the workout, the first one or two exercises of each workout are the main exercise or main exercises, if you have two. I do not ever have more than two main exercises. More often than not, it's just one. Sometimes it's two, particularly on a full body day, it would be two. These main exercises are going to be compound exercises, which is multi-joint exercises versus isolation exercises. So I wouldn't use an isolation exercise as a main exercise. So we're going to be compound exercises. And I'm going to have these in a lower rep range. Now with my Fitter After 40 members, the lowest rep range I usually go is five, six reps. So we work somewhere between 5 to 8 reps for these 1 to 2 first exercises of a workout. Now with my Fitter After 40 alumni, occasionally we'll go as low as 3 reps, especially if I have a member who wants to work on, you know, getting a bigger deadlift, a bigger squat, a bigger bench press. And over time, we're going to work them up so they can test their 1 rep max. Eventually, I will be having them train in the 3 to 5 rep range. But otherwise, those first 1 to 2 exercises, I keep in that 5 to 8 rep range. Okay, so it's going to be heavier weight, lower rep for those first 2 exercises or 1 to 2 exercises. Then the next chunk of the workout is going to include your accessory exercises. You're going to have 2 to 4 accessory exercises. These are also going to be compound exercises. Again, we're not working isolation exercises here. We're working compound exercises. And I would keep those usually in the 8 to 10 rep range. Okay, so we're not in that lower rep range anymore. We're not working in the 5 rep range. So working somewhere in that 8 to 10 rep range for these accessory exercises. So at the beginning, we have the main exercises, 1 to 2. Then we have the accessory exercises, 2 to 4. And then at the end of the workout, 0 to 2 isolation exercises. Sometimes I don't have any isolation. That'd be great if I could say that word. Sometimes I don't program any isolation exercises on a particular workout day. Sometimes I have 1, sometimes I have 2. Okay. I typically keep total exercises between 5 to 6. Sometimes 7 on a full body day. 7 full body day, yes, I can get up to 7. But I typically do, I do not go above, I used to. The way I was coached, I often had exercise days where I had 8 or 9. That's a long workout. And by the time at the end, you're not necessarily able to put in as much intensity as you might want to get the effect that you're looking for. So I do tend to fall more closer to that, like 6 exercises, 5 exercises, right around there, maybe up to 7 exercises, like I said, on a full body day. So at the end, these isolation exercises, these are things like bicep curls, tricep press downs, lateral raises, rear delt raises, glute kickbacks, calf raises. These would be doing in a higher rep range, 10 to 15 reps. Occasionally, I would go up to 20. I would never go more than 30. It's actually rare that I get up to 20. Typically, these higher rep ranges for me are between 10 and 15, occasionally something up to 20. I can't remember the last time I programmed something up to 30 reps. Research shows that we can still build muscle with up to 30 reps. But number one, that is super time consuming. It is super time consuming to do sets of 30. And two, it is hard to find the proper intensity and keep that intensity high on such high reps. And by intensity, I mean working close enough to failure to be effective. So whatever rep range you're working in, you want to be able to work so that you're 1 to 3 reps from failure for your working sets. All right. And it can be really challenging to find that range when you're talking about getting up to 20 and 30 reps, especially up to that 30 reps. So I don't really go up that high very often. Now, core can be handled in a number of ways. You can put it at the end of the workout. You can superset it with an accessory exercise or an isolation exercise. Those are typically the ways that I program core exercises. I put in about 2 to 3 sets of 1 to 3 core exercises across the week. So 2 to 3 sets of 1 to 3 core exercises across a week. Again, I either put them at the end or I superset them either with one of the accessory exercises in the middle of the workout or superset it with an isolation exercise at the end of the workout. Now, speaking of workout volume, I program each muscle group to get between 10 to 20 hard sets per week. So by hard sets, I'm not including any warm-up sets, especially with your main exercises. You should be doing warm-up sets to work your way up to your working weight. We're not going to include those warm-up sets in the count of how many sets I would be programming for you. So which means each week I'm going to give you between, I say 10, but 9 is fine, between 9 and 20 hard sets per week for each body, heart, muscle group. Now, let's talk about rest times, not rest days. We already talked about rest days, but let's talk about time in between sets. Research supports that for muscle growth, having a minimum of 2 minutes is optimal. You might be like, what? That was a lot of time. That was a lot of time. For heavy strength exercises, so those main exercises at the beginning of the workout with the lower reps and the heavier weight, I program 2 to 4 minutes. 2 to 4 minutes. So if somebody's doing a heavy deadlift, a heavy bench press, they're working on their chin-ups and they're going to be really tired. You're lifting a lot of weight when you're lifting your body weight. 2 to 4 minutes rest period. I do still program 90-second rest toward the end of my workouts. Okay. The end of my workouts, when we're getting to those isolation exercises, I will put a rep range of 90 seconds to 2 minutes. Like I do suggest, if you can have the time, get up to those 2 minute rests because optimal is awesome, right? That's awesome. But we also have to be practical with people's time. And if you're like, there's no way I'm going to be doing 6 exercises with 2 minutes between every set of 6 exercises, like I don't see myself having that much time, we can definitely, towards the end of the workout, you know, move those rest times down a bit to that 90 second. it's rare that I would ever go below 90 seconds. Now, I do employ supersets. Supersets are two exercises that are back to back without rest between them. And these two exercises should be using non-competing muscle groups. So this could be like doing a chest exercise and then a back exercise followed by your rest. So you could do, you know, 8 reps of rows followed immediately by 8 reps of a chest press or 10 reps of a chest press. And then you would take your rest after that. This can help save time. You can also do this on a full body day with an upper body exercise and a lower body exercise. So maybe you're doing an overhead press and then that's followed immediately by a lunge. And then you take your 2-minute rest period. This can really help save time. You get more work done in a shorter period of time than if you, let's say you did squats with 2-minute rest between each set and then rows with 2 minutes rest between each set. You're going to get more work done if you do a goblet squat followed by a row and then a 2-minute rest. I don't typically program supersets with a heavy strength move at the beginning of a workout. So if you have a heavy barbell back squat, a heavy barbell bench press, a barbell deadlift, a barbell hip thrust, I don't usually superset those unless it's something like an active recovery situation. Like if I'm having somebody do band pull-aparts supersetted with their bench press kind of for shoulder health, I would do that. Or maybe like a little bit of hip mobility drills with motion, supersetted with glute bridges or hip thrusts. That's a possibility. But I don't typically superset otherwise with those heavy strength moves at the beginning. All right. That's a lot of information. I know that is your crash course in programming. And if you're feeling like, that was a lot of information, I want you to know I have studied this and practiced it and experimented with it for 8 years now. And I'm still learning. I've gone to seminars where we spend an entire day or more, 2 days deep diving into just like one part of what I've discussed with you here today. There are volumes of books. There are whole textbooks covering all the things I just outlined. There are textbooks covering even part of what I just outlined for you here today. It is an entire field with scientific studies done to learn more. I find this really fun. You, however, do not need to be an expert in exercise programming to get incredible results. In fact, the best way to get incredible results without having to learn all the ins and outs of this is to have someone who is a seasoned professional on exercise prescription write your programming for you and then teach you how to most effectively follow that program. That's really what you need to learn to do is how do I effectively follow a program that is written by somebody who knows what they're doing? So then all you have to think about is that execution piece. And I would love to help you with that if that's what you want. If you want amazing results without having to becoming an expert on exercise programming, I would love for you to join me in Fitter After 40. Doors to Fitter After 40 open in just a week and a half, Tuesday, April 2nd. And inside Fitter After 40, you will not only get a 6-week training program that's going to hit all the muscle groups, it's going to have effective volume and optimized rest times, but also it's going to have in-depth video tutorials that show you exactly how to perform each and every exercise, including common mistakes and how to fix those mistakes, as well as having access to me to review video footage of any or all of your sets. If you want to send me in a video of you doing a set of every single exercise of every single day on that training plan for me to review, go ahead. I will watch it and give you feedback. I have members in my Fitter After 40 groups who do exactly that. At the beginning of the week, they send me videos of every exercise. I go over them. I give them feedback. Ones that they have things they need to practice, they send me a video again the next week. We dial it in even more. And if there's still more to work on, they send them back again the next week until we get it exactly how they want. So they're getting the best results and they're keeping themselves really safe, working around any injuries or pain that they may have. I will do all of that for you inside Fitter After 40. You're going to want to get your name on the list at the link in the show notes. If you join through the waitlist, you get a $50 discount code and you get an exclusive bonus. The exclusive bonus is called the Kitchen Reset. Now, research indicates that our food environments so often undermine our efforts to lose and maintain our weight. Even for highly motivated individuals, the food environment presents a constant challenge. And if you're thinking right now, like, heck yeah, definitely, like my environment around me really does make it challenging for me to lose weight. With all of that in mind, the focus of this exclusive bonus is going to be to help you set up the things in your personal food environment over which you have influence to best support instead of undermine your efforts at weight loss. Though the title is Kitchen Reset, we are going to tackle other of your personal space environments where food is, right? Like the kitchen is the place where most of the food is, but also maybe you have food in your desk, your car, your bedroom, gathering spaces in your home. We're going to tackle each of those in the Kitchen Reset too, to really optimize your food environment to support your weight loss goals. You can get this exclusive bonus totally for free when you join Fitter After 40 in the waitlist pre-launch April 2nd. So grab that link in the show notes. All you have to do is put your name and email, and I will be sending you all the details and answering all of your questions there. All right, my friend, it is good to be with you. I will be back again next week with another episode. I'm sharing an amazing story of one of my Fitter After 40 members from last spring. Her name is Felicity. She is from Australia. She made an amazing transformation, and you have a lot you can learn if you're like just starting your fitness journey and you're like, I want to lose a bunch of weight. How did she do it? I'm going to show you next week. All right, see you then. Thanks for listening to this episode of the Fitness Simplified podcast. I hope you found it motivational, inspirational, educational, organizational. If you did find value in this episode today, it would mean a great deal to me if you would leave a rating and review on whatever podcasting platform you are listening to this episode on. It really does help to get this podcast in front of other people. Thanks so much for being here.